across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now I'm hoping by the magic of technology that the 105 vet Mifanui Hill is on the other end of the line. Good afternoon, Mifanui. Can you hear me?
I can. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Nice to be with you.
Oh, that's really good to hear from you. Thank you so much for bearing with us on this. I hear, you know, you've had a very frustrating afternoon, have you not?
I have. So somebody has chosen to lock their bike to my bike, which is a perennial problem in Cambridge, but it's still very frustrating when it happens to you.
Especially when
you find yourself stuck somewhere.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to get somewhere, like here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Originally, you would have been very on time, and I was looking forward to giving you some cake as a reward for coming to see us.
I'm really, really very sad that I'm missing out on all this excellent-sounding cake, but it's probably better for my waistline, I suppose.
Well, if you do end up getting unlocked later, do come along and grab some cake anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely will.
Right, so getting on to our vet part of the afternoon, you were going to talk about the basics today of pet health as we're sort of, you know, coming into towards autumn. And you wanted to talk about maybe vaccinations, worming and feeding. And I don't know if there's any other areas that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought we'd kind of go back to basics as it's, you know, back to school time. And we did a little bit about basic behaviour things a couple of weeks ago. So this time I thought we'd have a chat about the real fundamentals of acquiring your first pet, really. And actually, it's been in the news quite a lot this week, because I don't know if you saw it, Alex, but the guy who sort of invented the crossbreed, the Labradoodle, has come out and said that he regrets it, because so many of these dogs actually have quite a lot of health problems.
Oh, no, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so that was, I think it was an article in the Times or possibly on the BBC as well quite recently. But obviously, what it really touches on is how important it is to really do your homework when you're getting a pet, and to speak to lots of different people and get your information from lots of different sources, because people are often quite tempted to you know, look on the internet, find a breed of cat or dog or, you know, any pet that they like the look of, and then go to a breeder and just buy from a breeder. But obviously, although breeders are very reputable most of the time and very, very knowledgeable, ultimately they're really invested in the particular kind of dog or cat or pet that they in particular breed. And so you want to make sure that you get lots of information from lots of different sources. And obviously your local vet or your veterinary nurse can give you lots of impartial advice. So the first thing to say to people is, when they're thinking about acquiring a new pet, is to really do their homework, read up about the breed that they're interested in, or particularly the species if it's not a kind of a more standard species or a species that they've not had in the past, and then go and chat to lots of different people about them. And always remember that there are lots of rescue animals out there looking for homes as well. And if you're thinking about getting a rescue dog or cat, go and visit the shelter that you're looking to acquire them from and chat to the people that run the shelter. So people like the Dogs Trust, the Cats Protection Agency, Battersea Dogs Home is obviously very famous in London. But there are lots of smaller ones as well who you can go and talk to, just to make sure that you're selecting the right pet for your family and for your circumstances. Because, for example, you know, big dogs need lots and lots of exercise. And if you are maybe not very mobile or you have a very busy lifestyle, you might not have time to be walking a dog for an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening every day for the rest of its maybe 10 or 12 year life. So it's really important that people do their homework. I think after that, really, once you've picked the pet that you are keen to acquire, whether that be from a rehoming centre or whether you're buying, the next thing to think about are what its specific healthcare requirements are going to be. So we touched on vaccination and worming. So vaccination is really important for almost all domesticated pets. Need to receive some form of vaccinations, because like humans, these are aimed at protecting them from very serious diseases that can ultimately cause them very great harm if they were unlucky enough to contract them. So it's very important that we vaccinate our pets. And most of the vaccines that we use in dogs and cats in the UK are very routine. There are a few special ones. You know, if you're going abroad, you might need the rabies vaccine. And they are, by and large, for most healthy pets, they are very, very safe.
Do you have to do vaccinate yearly, or are some that you have when they're first puppies or kittens, or are there some that are all of them regular? Because I know we've just taken our cats. When I say just us, I meant my husband took the cats catching.
Yeah, so most vaccines now are actually every 3 years for dogs, and some of them are every 3 years for cats and some of them are yearly. So it depends a little bit on the specific vaccine that your practice uses, but it's best to check with your vet as to how frequently they need to be given. There are very few vaccines that are just one-off for pets. And that's just because we don't know as much about how long lasting their antibody exposure is, so how long they're protected. But if you are very keen to investigate that for your own pet, you can ask your vet to do what we call a titer test, and that will tell you how well protected your pet is if you're not keen to vaccinate every year. But most vaccines that we use routinely will either be 3 years or annual, depending on which brands they are. So have a chat with your regular vet to double check that. All of these vaccines, as I was saying, you know, they're very safe. And if you have got any specific concerns, as always, chat to your vet about them, because there are some pets that we try not to vaccinate too much, for example, if they've got other diseases. But it's really important that we vaccinate our pets, not only to protect their own health, but to protect other pets from catching diseases that they might be carrying inadvertently.
And also, do the vaccinations, I guess they change in time as well? As in,
yeah, they
you know,
do.
There's different
so
ones
it,
that they suddenly identify or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, you know, we give a panel of vaccines that we think is most appropriate for a majority of dogs in the UK in the current climate. But certainly as things change and develop, as new versions of viruses are discovered, or as new diseases come into the UK from, for example, Europe or elsewhere abroad, then they do change. So it is important that you keep your vets, you keep your pets up to date with their vaccination, and do chat to your vet, particularly if you're thinking about travelling, and make sure that you've got the local vaccines as well if your pet's going to be going abroad for any length of time. So the next one really to think about is worming. And worming is really important, particularly when our pets are young, because they're at a greater risk of any complications when they're young. So young puppies and kittens, we often will be looking to worm them every month. And then when they get a bit older, it tends to be less frequently, maybe every 3 to 6 months. And one of the most important things when we're thinking about worming is that we remember that worming, especially our dogs, is not just for their health, it's also for human public health. So we're all very familiar with the signs around, you know, children's play parks that invoke the Dog Fouling Act. So obviously it's very important that we pick up our pets' poo around these sorts of places. But this is because actually some of the worms that dogs can carry in their intestines can cause quite a lot of harm, particularly to human children. And so it's even more important, even if you don't think that your dog necessarily has got worms, it's really important to keep on top of worming, because it's actually a human public health thing that we need to keep on top of as well.
And for the worming, you're now making me feel guilty. So I think we usually worm our cats when they go to the vets for their vaccinations. But you're saying that,
yeah,
you should be doing them sort of once more, and at least every 6 months.
Well, yeah, so cats is a little bit different because we're not so worried about a public health issue. For cats, really, it depends how much catching of wildlife they do. So for cats, it's particularly tapeworm that can be a problem, and they tend to get tapeworm from rodents. So if your cat is an outdoor cat and they catch lots of small furry animals, then I would definitely be looking to worm them every 3 to 6 months. But if your cat is maybe not super active, they're not very interested in munching anything that they find outside, then we don't need to worry about it quite so much, and maybe you can worm slightly less frequently. The big caveat for that is that if any of our pets, dogs or cats, if they're chewing on lots of slugs and snails, then there is a worm that we need to be aware of, which is called lungworm. And that's actually carried through slugs and snails. So if your pet does eat lots of slugs and snails, then it's very important that you make sure that they are treated for lungworm. And not all worming products are equal. So you have to make sure that you select one that is specific for lungworm if that is a concern. And generally speaking, particularly for dogs, we would recommend making sure that you regularly worm for lungworm anyway. So it's just one more thing to bear in mind when you're thinking about which product you're going to buy. And particularly when you're thinking about where you're getting these products from, lots of the over-the-counter worming tablets that you can get from supermarkets are not necessarily going to cover for lungworm. So if you're thinking about treating for lungworm, it's important that you get the correct product, and that will probably be from either a veterinary pharmacy or direct from your vet.
And the last one I wanted to ask you about was flea treatment. Is that both applicable to cats and dogs? And I'm guessing as we start putting the heating on in the house...
Absolutely, yep. So once we've done all of the internal parasites, the nasty worms, the next one that we come onto that's obviously very common are things like fleas and ticks, the outside parasites, as we sort of think of them as. So fleas are really nowadays a year-round problem because we all have nice, warm, well-insulated homes. And actually, up to 90% of the flea population can live in our soft furnishings. And that means that if you do see fleas on your pet, unfortunately, you've definitely got them in your carpet. And it's usually a tip of the iceberg that we see on our pets when we see fleas. And that means that treating fleas is as much about treating our pet as it is about treating our home. And it's very important that we treat both our pet's environment and our pet. So there are lots of different ways of treating for fleas. And the most common one that lots of people are probably familiar with is the spot on the back of the neck of a kind of liquid that gets distributed throughout their fur and throughout their skin cells. And various different products will work for different lengths of time. So make sure that you're reading the instructions appropriately and applying appropriately. But there are other options as well, including tablets and injections. So it really depends on, finding a product that's suitable for your pet and for your circumstances. But when we're thinking about doing flea treatment, it's, as I said, it's really important that we treat the house at the same time. So that might be either using things like insecticides within the house if we think we've got a really bad infestation. But just general, tidiness, things like doing the hoovering regularly can also help to keep on top of them. And always washing our pet's bedding on a hot setting to make sure that we kill any eggs or larvae that have fallen off our pet's coats when they've gone to sleep in their baskets or beds, and making sure that we kill those in the wash by using a nice hot wash cycle.
That's great, Mia Fatanui. That's given us a lot to think about.
I know. All the gross, creepy, crawly things.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. We've got that one out of the way this time, haven't we?
Absolutely.
So thank you ever so much for phoning in and being able to speak on the phone, even though you're poor bike.
No
I hope
problem.
You have good luck getting home later on this evening.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you again next month. Thank you ever so much.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.